Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I was thinking about, you know, because I got a chance to go to Texas, and when I think about somebody maybe in Egypt or somebody in Africa or somebody in Mexico or somebody in the world, they heard about this country called America. And they're thinking about, wow, it's like land of the free and land of the brave, and that if you work hard, you can accomplish something, and you can be who you are. You can worship God freely. Nobody's going to, you know, force you. You can live, and you can succeed. And, you know, the only limit is your ability to do something. But then the America is, you know, if you've been listening to VFN Radio and watching what's happening, the America that we know that was like that is disappearing in our face. It's kind of just dissolving in our face. And of course, it's not over. It can change, but you kind of get disheartened, you know? And as I begin to think about Texas, I'm thinking, man, I started having all those same feelings, you know, that somebody outside of America would have about coming to America. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to America. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to go there where they fly the American flag proudly and the Texan flag right beside it proudly. I'm going to go there where all the businesses who really want to do business the American way are seemingly interested in a state that's so big you can fit a whole bunch of us in it, states in it, that they're coming to. And that it is out of the top 10 places, it's like 6 of the top 10 places to work, right?
That's right. Cities. A place of employment for business.
And it's like, but when I'm going there, I'm like, oh my goodness, it just felt like I was coming into America. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh my goodness, I could be anything I want to be here. You know, and because since everybody's got a gun, I was real polite. You know, if I drove wrong on the road, you just pause for a moment and realize, okay, hey, no shots fired, everything's good. I haven't offended my bar.
Just wave and smile.
Just wave and smile, right? And I was sitting, Donna was sitting in this restaurant and having a meal, and just the nicest people, just nice, and they just openly talk about the Lord and just you know, good people and a great bouquet of humanity. And I'm looking across the restaurant, and I see some Texans, and this is, you know, I'm talking good about Texas, but I'm looking across the restaurant of where we're sitting at. Look, I saw a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, where these that is one, right? Anyway, so there were sitting four Texans, but you couldn't see the other two because the hats were too big. Yeah, yeah. They're actually sitting facing each other at this booth, and they had these big Stetsons on, these hats. And I'm looking at that thinking, that looks like a picture that we would hang on our wall. This is a reality here. And I found out why they wear hats. It's the sun, bro. It's like, oh my goodness. But you know, but it's like dry heat. I mean, you hear the thing, you go, right, dry heat, whatever. And different than wet heat, like humidity.
Yeah, stick your head in the oven.
Yes, you're right. But the thing about it was, it was so, even though, you know, the temperatures were, you know, unusually high for that this time of year, around 80 or something, it just didn't feel like that at all. It didn't feel like it at all. And but then when I came back to the Gulf Coast, and they didn't have to even put us in seatbelts. We just kind of stuck to our seats in the plane, you know. And they just unstuck us, you know. And you just felt like wet. You just feel wet, you know. And went to go do some exercise. You know, Monday.
She's looking kind of shapely.
Shapely. That was very nice. And
shapely. That?
Oh, I can tell you about barbecue. I'm talking about barbecue. And so I go there, and because it feels so wet, I sweated profusely. I'm like, my head's wet. I'm like, what's going on? I'm only going 1 mile an hour on the treadmill. What's happening here, you know? I don't do that. It's an air conditioner. And it's amazing how quickly your body adjusts. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, it's kind of mildew down here. You know, it's like everything. The dryness, you know, mildew can't even survive in a dry environment. But I don't think dirt can either. But yeah, and I was like, oh, you just don't know. And it was just it was pretty interesting. And so if you have sinus problems and things like that, maybe, you know, go into one of the states that dry climate is good for you. You'd be able to do like that. But speaking of that, you know, I just want to just, you know, my wife and I were in Texas, and we had gotten on a flight going there and a flight coming back. But the flight was overbooked when we were going to come back from DFW to Houston International. And
booked up.
Excuse me, it's humid here. And what am I talking about? Oh, so
you missed your plane.
Yeah, you know. And I didn't even look at the ticket at this point. You know, Donna's pulling the tickets and all that, and so we end up in we actually get a car and drive from the Oasis of DFW to the desert of between the desert that lies between Dallas and Houston. And we're riding along, and there's this little town called Fairfield. You're seeing these billboards you're passing, you know, it says barbecue, you know. And of course, I'm not a fast food person. I was like, you know, just right. I'll do it if I have to. And but I'm rather happy to sit down and have a meal and have a relationship and that kind of thing. And I even talked to the person at the drive-through. How are you doing? Is it good?
Is this part this of, is true.
It's like, you know how dogs play with their food. I gotta have a conversation with my food. You know? And so we're seeing these billboards like, no, don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. So I'm focused on this. I mean, these big signs that says barbecue coming up. You know, We drove halfway maybe to Fairfield, Texas, and we get there and we find out the billboard was bigger than the gas station at the barbecue
at a barbecue stand.
But by that time we're starving, so we go in to the gas station in the middle of nowhere in the desert, where in the back there's somebody with a big knife chopping beef, and they're not talking much. And you got like a gas station up front. You have a store counter when you walk in, and you have a little kitchen area 7 inches behind that. And then you have like a sitting area to the right. And so you walk in, you say, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try this. And so you ask them, you know, what's the best thing on the menu? And only one of them talked. And the one that was chopping never stopped chopping. It's just like, I'm freaking out here. We're in the middle of nowhere. We stopped chopping for a moment. And is that beef? And so they tell me it's the barbecue sandwich, and I get the sandwich, and it was so good.
Really?
Oh, it was so good. You know, it was like we fun because we ate barbecue in another place of Texas, but this was the real deal. I mean, if you're ever going through Fair, go to the gas station. I've been humbled by two gas stations. One when I was in Franklin, North Carolina, and Bill was telling me, he says, you got to go to this gas station to eat this food, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, I was there maybe about 2 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And finally, out of all the places, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to this gas station and try it out. And you sit down at tables and you're eating there, but it's half and half a gas station, half a restaurant. Huh. And when I put the food in my mouth, one bite, it was so good. It was so good that I sat up in my seat, put my neck in my lap, and looked around to see if anybody saw me slouching. It was so good. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, it was shrimp and grits. And it was a chef that was one of the big chefs for somebody for a long time, just went there and retired and opened up. I'm like, oh my goodness. I even looked at the lady across the street who had a huge pile of calamari, and I'm not into that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, it's got to be good. She had 7,000 of them on a plate. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I try one of those? And she says, yes. I do mind.
Oh my God.
That's how good the food is. So here I am in this gas station in the middle of nowhere. And I want to eat it there because I want to eat, like, you know, just kind of really
experience it.
This place exists. You know, where are we?
Do we have pictures?
I know. You just, it's in. And so I am, Don and I are eating and looking around, and you have one couple, there's only like a handful of us there, that's obviously going to Dallas. and they're talking. No, I'm in this. They didn't say Podunk Town, but they're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, we're just crossing through this place. We'll be there in a minute. No, type of thing. But I'm looking and going, my goodness, and what do you do here? I mean, well, there's no, what do you do here, right? I'm curious. And so this young lady comes in with her friend, two girls, and they sit at the table over there, and they're both texting at the
texting?
Table.
Texting?
Yeah, texting in Texas. Okay. And I'm thinking, who are they texting? First of all, thinking like, hey,
the rest of the world.
They got like 4G here. I was like, there's got to be a tower or something. So I finally it's got the best of me. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And she's just real talkative. She says, fine. And I said, what do you do around here for fun? I mean, what do you do? And she says, we drive four-wheelers. I mean, it was just so direct. It was like, that's the answer. We drive four-wheelers. And I'm like, oh. You know, trying to be real appreciative to the concept. Is that all you do for fun? And she was serious. We drive them fast. And I said, that's great. It's great. And I'm going to go to the next thing. So what else do you do for fun? And she says, we drive cars fast. And probably why is because they're so far away from everything. You got to drive fast to get somewhere in time. But then I'm thinking, there's got to be something else. And so I asked her how many people's here, and she came up with a number. She said her town had 300 in it.
Oh, God.
And, I know. And I said, in the town that we were in, Fairfield, they said it had 40,000 in it. I don't know where they were. I don't know what they lived in. But you could see all the way to Mexico from there. I mean, it was just flat. It was flat, you know. And so I'm so glad that I entered the way I did enter. God knew how to bring me in. And then I said, well, what else do you do? And she says, we swim in cattle troughs.
Oh, gosh. You swim where?
In cattle troughs.
That's something they drink out of or something?
They swim in it. Yeah, the cows. She was drinking out of a glass.
But cows.
Yeah, they swim it. And so I'm thinking a trough, you know, a metal trough or something like that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, wow, we have to free her from this. You know, she doesn't know what exists. You know, there's other things. And but what they do is they go to the middle of a huge field where they have their cattle, and they dig this huge pond that where the cattle drinks. And I think you played on VFN Torch. You had a segment where they were like slingshotting themselves over this body of water. That was a cattle trough.
Wow.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, it's not moving. It's still water. It being still. And it's, you know, dirt. And I'm thinking, like, probably can't see anything. I'm like, I don't think I would, you know, I just don't think I would get in it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think. And so but I thought, oh, my goodness, I saw a video about you. It looked like they were having a lot of fun, didn't it? But I didn't realize that's the only fun they could have.
I guess that was it. Make it last.
They really made that puddle of water last, didn't they, on that video? Like, my goodness, they did everything about it.
Sure did.
So when we got into Houston, we had a chance to see Barbara. Good morning, Barbara.
And, hey.
We just gave her a buzz. Hey, we're here. Open the door. We missed our flight and had a chance to meet her new dog. Barbara has a dog to her whole family's amazement.
Really?
Yeah. She would tell her kids years ago, like, get that dog out of here. Put it in the pound.
What is it?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I heard about a dog when I was on the radio. Listen to the radio. I can talk about that.
Goodness.
Can't believe it. You know, 5 minutes, he's ready just to cast the dog out.
Just 5 minutes. I mean,
he's surprised that a dog poos, you know. Anyway, so.
Yeah, well.
So the dog.
We'll revisit this again.
Her dog's name is Princess Ruby.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. No. Princess Ruby. No. And it's the coolest dog. It is the coolest dog.
What kind
dog.
Is it?
Yeah, a mutt. I think it's a mutt. It's a small mutt.
Barbara would not get a mutt.
Right? No, she got him at the pound.
Really?
Pound. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't poop on the all that kind of stuff. It just sits there. It goes to the bathroom, flushes the toilet.
Is it full grown?
It waltz out of the kitchen. Can I get you something? All right. No, it was not. Just give Pat a hard time. But this dog's just got all this energy and just, it's really cool and just, it would play with you. And it's not, you know, Max, my dog's 100 pounds. If he pounced on you, you'd know it. And, she's got a brand new dog. Got a chance to meet Princess Ruby. and spent a little time with Barb before we flew out at, well, we got to the airport at 3 a.m., but we flew out at noon.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we flew out at 7:15. 7:15. We just had a little misreading on the ticket, and we got to Houston International Airport before the ants got there. I mean, we were there so early. We were the only ones in United Airlines. and the bus driver that kind of carries you from the car rental place to the thing, I mean, he was about to go. He's like, don't leave us here. We're going to be here all alone. No, he drops us off, you know. And so we go in to there. Of course, we find, oh, we're on the bus when the revelation hits, not me, when the revelation hits someone. And we look, we go, oh, my goodness, that's in 3 hours, you know. And so we get there, and the entire staff, all the employees of United, because the only seat is in the doorway. You're actually in the lobby doorway. It's like a 20-foot by 20-foot area. They have seats in there, so they have to pass you. Go through those doors, all the so every single guy that packs luggage, that checks people in, that moves stuff, that directs planes, I saw them all. You had some people that were glad to work, and some people that weren't glad to work, and you had some people that looked at me and like, because I was kind of laid back with my feet on my luggage, pushed in the doorway,
yeah.
And she goes, no, I don't think so, about moving the luggage and stuff. But so we spent a few hours in Houston International, and got out at 7:15 in the morning and just flew right into humidity. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We're just talking about Texas. I didn't get a chance to talk about the fences in Texas.
The fences?
They make, instead of, you know, where most areas, they have like, you know, chain link fence or a
picket fence,
you know, where it's like a privacy fence or made out of wood. They have it made out of brick.
Brick fence.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, it has pillars, you know, like every 6 feet, but it has bricks where the pickets would go.
Wow.
And there's space underneath the bottom of it, so it's off the ground.
Really?
So it's not like a wall that goes down into the dirt, which block all the way to the water flow, whatever. And I'm looking and thinking, they like brick. You know, I'm just thinking, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Steve Martinez there, and he goes, yeah, they do. They like brick. And I mean, they have brick houses, brick fences, brick companies. It's like, I couldn't figure it out. Then finally, I found out what it is. It's the summers get so hot that it takes all the moisture out. And a regular, normal privacy fence would just shrivel up and look like, you know, just nothing. Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
And so I said, that must be hot. It must be hot. But it's dry heat. It's dry heat.
Yeah.
But that's something. Think about it. You're looking around in Texas, you're seeing some of these people who thought they'd get a privacy fence. Obviously, they came from the Gulf Coast. and you know, they have like a just kind of thatch it. It's like that's it.
That's your twig. You know?
It's like that's it. This, I was like, that's just so cheesy. And what it was a privacy fence at one time.
All right.
And so they build their fences in some areas out of, you know, brick. They got a brick house, a brick fence. They like brick. They like brick. And at first I thought it was strange, but then I saw the cheesy looking thicket fence.
Right.
They had all the issues with it later on. I thought, well, hey, you know, it's a fence. It's a fence. It'll do. It will do. It was pretty cool just to see all the things that are going on in our country. If you want to go to America and see what America looked like in history, go to Texas. Go to Texas. Just get filled. It's like free. I mean, you're like, I'm free. Oh, my goodness. I could be anything I want to be. Oh, I'm land of the free, land of the brave. And I got to be good because everybody's got a gun. Okay. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.